This is Vectis Radio on location at the Adult Community Learning Centre in Westridge, Brading Road in Ryde. I've come down into the engine room and I've got Jan. So, Jan, hi. Tell us what you do.
Hi. I deliver English and maths programmes for adults over 19 so that they can update their qualifications, get new certificates, they're equivalent to GCSEs, and they can get onto new courses, university programmes, or get new employment.
So how does that work then? Is it like a classroom full of people?
It is a classroom full of people. Everyone's age over 19. It's a very relaxed environment. Everyone has a lot of fun. We work out your learning style so that you find out how you tick, and we adjust all the teaching to your needs. It's delivered on a one-to-one basis in a group environment. So everyone has an individual learning plan, and you only learn what you need to learn. You don't have to cover the whole curriculum. So if you know how to do division, we won't teach you division. If you know how to use an apostrophe, I won't teach you how to use an apostrophe.
Okay, sounds interesting. And it sounds like maybe if people were listening and thinking, right, I really want to do this, how does it all work? First lesson is you all sit down and then what?
When people first arrive, we do a complete initial assessment. So I find out how you learn, so we do a learning styles preference. We do an initial assessment that checks the skills you've already got, and it actually identifies what gaps you've got against the national curriculum. So from there, we can identify your level that you're going to be working towards, and we can identify the specific gaps, and then we write a plan to deliver to you your specific gaps.
So it sounds like if you want to do this course, you get the opportunity to be assessed so that you get the maximum out of it.
Absolutely. You don't have to cover material that you already know. You don't have to wait for other people to catch up with you. You are immediately on your journey, learning what you need to know in a class environment where everyone's on their own journey. But you're all experiencing a journey of achieving your English or maths together.
How long does the course last?
As long as a piece of string. It depends on the gaps you've got. So if you don't have very many gaps at all, it might be that you just need to do maybe 15 hours or so, do some practice exams, be familiar with the assessment process, and you can sit your exam as soon as you're ready. Other people need longer. The more gaps, the longer you may need.
Now, I've been talking to Rob, who tells me that the ages range from 19 to 94. Yes. So how interesting is there, having a classroom full of mixed ages?
It's really good fun. I can honestly say we laugh our way through most lessons. Everybody brings their unique life experience to the lessons, and you form a bond. You've got a group of completely mixed up people, all different ages, and everybody learns off each other, and it's fabulous fun.
How do people get involved?
All you need to do is to telephone 817280, ask to do your functional skills, and we will assign you, we will look at what days and times you are available and see if we've got a course with vacancies on it. Sometimes there may be a waiting list, but most of the time we're able to meet people's needs quite quickly.
Who qualifies?
Who qualifies?
Who qualifies to do the course?
Absolutely anybody can do this course, as long as you haven't got to, you've got to be over 19, that's the first eligibility requirement, you can't have a GCSE that's less than 5 years old, an A to C that would be, not the new numbered grading, because they're only a couple of years old. So if you've got a qualification that's more than 5 years old, a GCSE, you can update that. But it's anybody who hasn't got a GCSE less than 5 years old that is not C or above. So if you've got a D, you can come and do it.
How many people, give us a percentage on how many people come in and do the course and they're very, very nervous or sceptical at first, and then after the first lesson, everything, all the pressure, all the nervousness gets lifted?
I would say that happens with the majority of people in my classes. I think once they discover it's about them, it's personal, it's about your journey, and you're valued as a unique individual. The way you learn is valued, and the teacher adjusts their approaches to every single person in the room. And you start on this journey to together. And it doesn't matter how long that journey takes. It's about the journey. It's about enjoying the journey and learning new skills and realising the massive difference that these skills can make to you. So, for example, a simple thing like going shopping and working out which is the best deal when you're working out the two-for-one bargains and the percentage off and the different ways that the companies market things. So getting fantastic deals on your holiday, maybe. Maybe people get lots of money off and they suddenly realise they can get percentages off. Or even being able to read and extract information and make really good decisions when they're presented with decision-making, say, at the next general election.
Fantastic. Well done for all this. It just sounds so, so brilliant. And keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
This is Vectis Radio on location at the Adult Community Learning Centre in Westridge, Brading Road in Ryde. OK, so we've got Pete now, and I've been told you're a rambler, Pete, so I don't believe them. They're winding you up, I'm sure, and me as well. So, Pete, what do you do here?
I teach functional skills, maths and English, for... I only do it one day a week here. I do it around in community venues mostly, and so I teach it in East Cowes Children's Centre and Downside Community Centre.
Downside, my old school.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, right. Well,
yeah.
You know, it's been done out. It's got a beautiful community centre attached to it now, and they moved the old Barton School into it.
Fantastic.
When they combined, you know, the middle and. It's a lovely facility.
So you go out and about and you meet a variety of different people and you teach them.
Yeah, they register for the course. I'm sure Jan will have explained that the course is a necessary step for a lot of further things like apprenticeships and university entrance courses and that sort of thing. So, and even some courses at the college. So they register with the service, and I'll go and meet my new group of people next week, say at Downside, and then we assess their existing ability and find the level that they're working towards, and then we set targets and get them through at least one level in that academic year.
So when you meet up for the first time, you're meeting how many people?
My biggest class was 12. It usually settles at around 6.
How difficult is it to assess everybody's abilities? Because everyone's going to be, you know, slightly different and you're going to have to tailor-make things. How difficult is that?
It's a challenge, but it's a big focus of a lot of the, you know, a lot of education theory. So we do have tools, online tools and paper. We've devised our own assessment, which is particularly important for maths, because the online ones tend to... they're a good starting point, but we need to get more precise. And all teaching is a relationship, and so you're developing an understanding of the person, the way, not just the way what the person understands, but the way they relate to information, because people have different learning styles, and we do also assess for learning styles. That's what Jan and I were working on this morning, learning styles. So some people prefer to be told, some people prefer to read, some people prefer to see pictures. And so we do make those adaptations as well. Quite often the people who are coming to us are people who maybe haven't had a great experience with learning in the past. And, you know, as adults, and they have, we try to adapt to their needs as far as we can, you know, to make learning a positive thing.
Do you know, you're putting my mind at ease. If I was a person that was going to go into a classroom and be learning for the first time in many, many years, talking to you, I feel like I would feel very much at ease just coming in and sitting down, which I'm guessing is, you know, the first major obstacle for everybody that would take part.
Yeah, that's very kind of you to say so. I try not to. It is a part of the skill, because people are all different. I mean, for a lot of people, you know, just going to a group, any group, whether it's learning or a social thing or whatever, is a bit of a step. And so, obviously, you know, we bend over backwards within the restrictions of our, you know, what we're required to do to ensure that it's a positive thing and to let people adapt and get used to what they're doing.
A long may it continue.
Thank you
for taking out some time and
it's a pleasure.
And good luck with the programmes this year.
Thank you very much. Nice to meet you.
This is Vectis Radio on location at the Adult Community Learning Centre in Westridge, Brading Road in Ryde. Now, I'm going to talk to someone very, very important now because we're going to talk careers advice. So, Amanda, welcome.
Hi.
Tell me about what you do here regarding careers.
I work with learners and people from the local community to help them think about what they might want to do, whether that's career change, whether it's helping them think about job search techniques, CVs, preparing for interviews, looking at changing a job, a whole range of different things to help people move forward with their career goal.
Okay, so what qualifies you to do that then?
I am a fully qualified careers advisor, which means I hold something called the Diploma in Careers Guidance. That means I can provide a particular level of guidance where it can get a bit more in depth than just perhaps if somebody came and talked to the tutor, they can give them a leaflet and say, here's some basic information. I can help them really look through that information and make some decisions about the kind of different choices that they're trying to make.
We were just talking to a lady that's looking into doing some adult sessions and so on. And one of the things that we discussed was, you know, communication. The more you talk, the more you understand and so on. So I'm guessing, you know, you have someone that sits in front of you, you open up a conversation and then you find out more and then you work out where they're best to sort of be directed to.
Absolutely. The whole point of guidance and being qualified to deliver guidance, that it's about knowing the right questions to ask and drawing people out, and all the time you're thinking about, well, what's this person telling me, so where might be appropriate for them, what might be the best option for them, and you ask further questions, follow up, and between you hopefully come up with a decent career goal.
Excellent. So I've got loads of questions. So, I mean, first of all, obviously, if you're giving advice and so on, I'm guessing you've got contacts with a variety of companies that you can they help out?
We do as an organisation. Personally, no. And the reason I'll tell you why, partly because I only work one day a month for the council. But the other thing is that it's really important that people build confidence to make their own contacts. So I may not know the person directly, but I can say, this is how to get to know those people. For me, looking for a job is all about building contacts. So for me, it's about helping somebody to build those contacts for themselves.
Okay, that makes sense. I'm glad you explained that, because that really does make sense. And it means that, you know, by doing that, you're gonna build up the confidence and so on. And
Precisely. Let's
be honest, you can't just magically give someone a job or tell them to turn up somewhere and they're going to get one.
Yeah.
So you've got to do the hard work yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there's useful things that we say to young students. I mean, one of the things that we say to people when they first arrive at Vectis is, you know, so what do you know about us? And invariably they'll say, not much. And you think, well, okay, if you're going into a place, surely you should take it upon yourself to find out a little bit more about where you're going. So I'm guessing it's those kinds of nuggets of advice that you give.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's also thinking about the right information. So when you ask someone, what do you know about Vectis Radio, you're not just wanting them to tell you what they might have read on a website, you're wanting them to tell you a little bit more in depth and what makes Vectis Radio special to them. And that's, again, why actually just saying, right, here's a contact, go follow it, actually it's not helping the person as much as helping them understand why that's a good fit for that, you know, for that particular client.
And we always say when they come up with you know, something not so much negative but they don't know, we always say, well, if I was an employer, would I give you a job? And I think it's those kind of things that we've got to get across.
Yeah, absolutely.
So have you got any more nuggets of information or advice?
I think for me it is you keep talking to people, you keep building contacts, and they can be very informal contacts. You know, it is the conversations that you have wandering around the supermarket, in the pub when the pubs are open, you know, those kind of just getting on with people type things that start to get employers knowing that you might be looking for a job.
Yeah.
But you're not just nagging them for that job. Always preparing for an interview by thinking about not just what does the organisation do, but what do I bring to the organisation and why do I want to work for them? You know, too often, if I'm doing mock interviews with people and you ask the question, why do you want the job? They'll tell you all about what they can bring the job, but they won't say, I want to work for you because you've got a really good reputation with the way you treat your employees. You know, you're an organisation that is going places. I can see that you're investing. Those sorts of things. So it's actually helping the employer know that you are choosing them as much as them choosing you.
Wow, I feel like I'm confident enough to go in for an interview now, because that's a scary thing for people.
It's terrifying. So the other thing that I always encourage people to do, and we do interview preparation, and some of that interview preparation is just really simple techniques. So it's about making sure that your breathing's okay. So you've done all your preparation, but actually when you're there in the room, I've got a little saying that people in my sessions get a bit bored of, which is bum on the back of the chair. So actually, if you push yourself right onto the back of the chair, the back of the chair's supporting you.
Yeah.
Your shoulders are down, you can breathe, and suddenly you can focus on what the person's saying because you've stopped worrying about, am I fidgeting? Am I, you know, do I cross my legs? Don't I cross my legs? You're just centred. The other sorts of things are taking a pause before you answer a question, and it will feel like a lifetime to you, but to the person listening, it'll be nothing, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. Let me have a think about that. That sort of thing. It's very, very simple things that can just make you feel more in control of that process. And making sure that if you don't understand what somebody's asking you, you ask them.
Don't ever be afraid to ask those questions, definitely. Exactly. Should I have a coffee?
I don't know, what do you think?
No, when you go for it, because I'd be thinking I'd knock it over. Should you have
I had some very good advice on that, which is, sounded really good advice at the time, which is only ever go for a cold drink. Because you always end up, either you try and drink it and you burn your mouth, or you end up with the really cold bit that you, as you say, you don't know what to do with it. Which sounded great advice, but I was in one interview, I went for a job, asked if I wanted a bottle of water. Sounded great. I leant for the bottle of water, picked it up. I couldn't open the bottle. I just could not get a grip on it. And so I spent most of the beginning of that interview thinking, any minute now, this is just going to ping off and I'm going to throw water over everybody. So I now tend to go for the, just say, smile very nice and say thank you so much, but no, I'm fine.
Brilliant. Hey, look, I could talk to you forever because I know there's lots of things, you know, the interviews and techniques and so on. So I'm guessing that you give advice on that. And we haven't even discussed things like your CV. I mean, you know, is that something that you help people with
I do help people with CVs, yes. And again, I'm a big believer that it's got to be right for that individual. There's people giving you lots of different rules about CVs and, you know, there are some very clear principles, but ultimately you've got to feel comfortable handing it to an employer.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate you talking to us.
Absolute pleasure.
And good luck and keep up the good work.
Thanks for talking to me.